Sometimes our neighbors may not be that neighborly. So this week I wanted to talk about making peace with our enemies. Maybe it would be good for us this morning to maybe try to come up with what makes someone an enemy. There are so many things that might make someone an enemy. But maybe it's just because you have a strong disagreement with them. And so you consider them the enemy. You know, in the world we live in today, there's a lot of division over that, isn't there? You stand on one side or the other side of an issue, and those who are on the other side, we consider them an enemy. Maybe it's someone who would love to see your life destroyed, or vice versa, you want to see theirs destroyed. Sometimes, or it might be someone who maybe you have an extremely difficult time loving, let alone liking. Someone you would cross to the other side of the road to avoid. Someone you would never invite to church or want in church for that matter. Someone who has hurt you. Probably be your enemy. Some of you might be here this morning and say, well, you know, Dave, I really don't have any enemies. You know, praise God if you don't have any enemies. But let me offer this to you. Because I think we treat them the same way. You might not have someone who's an enemy. But is it someone you would give less preferential treatment to because you don't really like them a whole lot? Everybody's got people that you may not really like very much. So I want to say that this morning just to say that I think every single one of us here struggles to some degree with this whole idea of making peace with our enemies. Making peace with it. You don't want to call them an enemy because you think you're beyond that. Someone that you really don't like. Let me describe for you what Webster's Dictionary says about an enemy. It says, an enemy is one who seeks to inflict injury on another. A hostile force or power or a foe. That's in the shortened version of Webster's Dictionary. I'm sure there's some other definitions as well. Well, I want to look at this text this morning. The one, not the one in Proverbs that talks about enemies and how we ought to really respond to them and treat them. But I want to look at the text here in the New Testament about the Pharisee, the woman, and Jesus. And as we look at these characters in this story, let's see who they consider to be an enemy and who may not be an enemy. Let's look at the Pharisee first. Here's this Pharisee. He's invited Jesus to come to his house. At this point in time, when he's invited to his house, I'm assuming it's not yet to be determined whether Jesus is friend or foe. It hasn't been determined yet whether he is a friend or he might be an enemy. This Pharisee is curious about Jesus and what he thinks about things. So he invites him in. Doesn't treat him perhaps the way someone would treat someone they really want to have as a guest, because we get that later on when Jesus is talking about what the woman came to do, and he who brought him over as a guest didn't even wash his feet when he came in or nothing like that. He just came in. So you can see he wasn't maybe treated royally. He wasn't treated extremely well by this Pharisee. This Pharisee brought Jesus in to question him, like many of the Pharisees did. Would Jesus fit into the Pharisees' way of thinking? Was he, as the Pharisees would say, was he one of them? And he soon discovered he wasn't one of them. Jesus had a different way of looking at life. He had a different way of looking at people. He certainly had a different way of looking at someone who would be perceived as an enemy. Much different than what the Pharisee was thinking. You see, this woman who came into that home was someone who had a track record. The Pharisee knew that. You see, this woman had a reputation. They all knew it. When she came into that room and they saw that woman who was there, and he is saying, if Jesus only knew, he should know if he's a prophet, that this woman has lived a horrible, terrible, sinful life. He wouldn't let her near him. You see, isn't that the way we are about our enemies? We don't want them anywhere near us. If you saw your enemy coming into the church and sitting on Sunday morning and you had two options, sit next to them or sit next to someone else, how many of you would sit next to your enemy? We look at the Pharisee once again, and you see Jesus' actions versus the Pharisee's actions concerning this one who came in to kind of, in a sense, interrupted this whole discussion. Whatever was going on, perhaps a theological discussion, perhaps a discussion about religious things, I'm assuming that would have been the case. This woman comes in and interrupts everything, messes it all up. You see, I look at this Pharisee and Jesus being present with this Pharisee, and it seems that Jesus always seemed to rub the contented sinner the wrong way. Jesus always tended to rub the contented sinner the wrong way. You know who I look at as contented sinners? It's typically religious people. It's often those of us who sit in pews on Sunday morning. We're religious people. We do the right thing. We come to church on Sunday morning and we worship and we do all the things we're supposed to do. We say the right things. We might say amen from time to time. And then we leave and do whatever it is we with our life during the week, oftentimes doing things we should not be doing, and then we come back and put on the same old show the next week. This is the person that Jesus is talking about when he's rubbing the contented sinner the wrong way. He had a tendency to get under the skin of the Pharisees. Because you see, they were all about what the outside looks like. They were all about how I appear in front of all of my peers. How I look amongst everybody else. And that's why I would hope you would never put a pastor on a pedestal and make them think like they are something beyond everybody else. I'm just like you going on a journey. I want to hold myself to a high standard, but I tell you what, if you're the fly in the wall in my home or wherever I might be, you're going to see from time to time that your pastor's got warts. I don't always come out smelling like roses in every situation I find myself in. Not to excuse it, but just to say what I don't want to be is like what the Pharisee is here, this contented sinner that's trying to justify whatever it is that he's doing with his life, and Jesus comes in and he's messing with it. You see, the thing is, when we come into the presence of the living God, his righteousness exposes our sin. I remember a gentleman when I was pastoring in Norway that came up to me one time and he said, "You know, Dave, the closer I get to God, the more sinful I feel." Think about that for a moment. The closer I get to God, the more sinful I feel. I think what he was actually telling me is the more righteous I try to become and the more I want to be close to Jesus, the more I recognize the fact that he is so righteous, it makes me feel all the more that I am far from it. Farther from it as I draw closer to him. Now the statement is kind of ironic. It almost sounds almost contradictory. But I know what he's pointing out. I think as we draw closer to God, we're trying to become more righteous, but we realize in trying to become more righteous just how righteous he is and how far away from that we are. That was not where this Pharisee was at. He was trying to justify this contented sinner state of being that he was in. Turn to the woman real quick. Because if we're talking about making peace with our enemies, this Pharisee looked at this woman, and there's no doubt he saw this woman as an enemy. Because you see, she looked dirty on the outside. Everybody knew her. She had that reputation around town. Everybody knew this woman. And when this woman came into his home and walked to talk to Jesus, who he was trying to talk to, although I don't even know if she wanted to come in and talk to Jesus, she just wanted to come in and fall down on her feet and just, before Jesus, say, I'm a sinner. I'm a horrible person. I pray that you somehow, some way forgive me. She was doing that even without words by what she was doing, wasn't she? The woman to the Pharisee was an enemy. To Jesus, this woman was no different than the Pharisee. She was a sinner, just like the Pharisee was a sinner. You see, when it comes to Jesus, all of us are on the same level playing field. We're all sinners. Some may look a little more righteous than others do. Maybe some have not done some of the things that some others have done. But when it comes to coming before Jesus Christ, there is no difference between the Pharisee, who was probably a pretty good man, and the woman who had spent her life in sin. To the Pharisee, she was an enemy. To Jesus, she was a sinner just like the Pharisee. To the town, she had quite a reputation. But she somehow saw an answer to her problem. The Pharisee wasn't going to give her the answer. It was Jesus who gave her the answer. The Pharisee was there to judge her, to point a finger at her, and to remind Jesus, if you were a prophet, you would have known this woman bad news, and you don't want to be anywhere near her. Let's look at Jesus for a moment. In Jesus' eyes, who is the enemy? The Pharisee wasn't the enemy, nor was the woman the enemy. But there was an enemy in that room. And you know what that enemy was? It's a three-letter word. Sin. The enemy in the room was not the Pharisee. It was not the woman. The enemy in the room was sin, pure and simple. How many times in the room where we live, in the room where we live perhaps with an enemy, maybe we are in proximity to that enemy, and you wonder what's going on between that enemy and you or me. The enemy is not the enemy, the person. The enemy is sin, pure and simple. It could be an unforgiving spirit. Could be pride. Could be materialism. It could be prejudice, jealousy, doubt. We could go on and on and on about all those things that might be present there. But that person is not the enemy. The enemy is ultimately sin. And Jesus tries to point that out, and he's trying to point that out here. The enemy is sin, pure and simple. Jesus, who not long after this, he had a war to fight. And he had a war to win. It was actually our war. But he fought. It says in Romans 5:10 that while we were God's enemies, think about that. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through Christ. Now, in that context, while we were enemies, the context is not us, the context is sin. And He died for us. He fought our fight. And He won our fight. You see, to Satan, you and I are just pawns in a chess game. That's all we are. That's all we are to Satan, is pawns in a chess game. And he's doing everything he can to really destroy who God meant us to be. That's what he's out there to do. That's all Satan is out there to do, to destroy humanity in that kind of a way. But to Christ, we're lost children. That's what we are to Christ. We are lost children, and he wants to bring us back into the fold. With all that in mind, as I close, what's he then calling us to do with those? And maybe I won't use the term this morning because it sounds too harsh, because most of you would say you're kind of seasoned Christians, you don't have any enemies. But what's he really say to us about those people we don't really like, who don't believe what we believe, who don't act in a way that we think is appropriate, who cheer for the Michigan Wolverines as opposed to the Michigan State Spartans? Oh. No. Really. What's he have to say to us? They're not the enemy. Sin is the enemy. Remember that, folks. Sin is always the enemy. It's not the person. And I think if we look at it that way, God gives us the ability to love our enemies. Just like Luke 6:27 says. You know, he's talking about loving people, and the disciples are there amening everything Jesus says. And yeah, love those who love you. Oh, yeah, we can do that. That's no problem. That's an easy one. And he says, and love your enemies. In 6:27, love your enemies. Now that's when it struck. Love your enemies. It's easy to love those that love you. Love your enemies. We are called in the Church of Jesus Christ to love our enemies. Remember something. It's not the person, it's the sin that separates us. Okay? Not the person. He says also in Ephesians, the war that we're fighting is not against people, it's against principalities and powers, right? That's where the war is. The war is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers. That's another reference to the exact same thing that I'm talking about here this morning. So, making peace with our enemies, because that's what God wants us to do. That's what Jesus gave His life for, to make peace with the enemy. The Pharisee forgot this, and the woman didn't. When you look at the story, the Pharisee forgot or didn't know. The woman got it. I hope you and I get it. Because if we don't get it, our enemies will never come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And whose fault would that be? Mine. And yours. Not that we don't save people. God does. But He uses us by showing others the agape love of God. Let's pray. God, this is a hard lesson for us to learn. And I'm sure there are people here in this congregation this morning that have who they would call them real enemies. People who are very difficult. People who have harmed them, who have hurt them, who have said things, who have done things, who maybe hate them, whatever the case may be. And yet, God, we're called in Your Word to love our enemies. But help us to put it in context like You do. The enemy is not really the person. The enemy is sin, pure and simple. Ours and theirs. Help us to love like You love. Help us to love like You loved, even when we think of what You did on the cross at Calvary, when all those people were around the cross and the enemies were right there, the religious leaders and those soldiers that were doing harm. And there You were saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God, help us to be like You. To love people in spite of themselves. To love people in spite of their sin. Because that's exactly what You did with us. Help us, Lord, to be filled with Your agape love. And we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.